blessing once again to be here in the house of prayer. And we do have a word from the Lord. Amen. I want to thank God for letting us be here today. And thank God for all of you who have come to be with us today.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We just bless the Lord and give him all the praise. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're just going to take a look here. I had something got impressed on my mind to discuss today, and I believe it will be a blessing. And as you know, we're going to go and read a little bit here first before we take up our ideas. So I'm going to ask you to read with me just a few verses from a couple of spots in God's Word. You know what I notice? Every spot in the Word is good. That's something I noticed. I couldn't help but get around seeing that. So we're going to take a look today at a book sometimes not often talked about much, particularly in the context we're going to use it today, but the prophet Jonah. Just want to look at the prophet Jonah, just a few verses, and then from the evangelist John, as he is called, one of the four evangelists in the New Testament. We're looking at Little John, as we call it here around here. 1 John chapter 2, just verses 15 through 17 for our reading today. So read with me from Jonah chapter number 1. Should be on your handout if you have it there. Jonah 1 and 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship, and going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Just those few verses about the epic of Jonah, the prophet. Now just let's read a little here in 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is the New Testament reading, 1 John 2:15 to 17. And I just want to speak a little today on the subject of choosing God's way. Choosing God's way.
Amen.
Amen. And before I start that, I just want to say this totally has nothing to do with what I'm about to say, but it was something I heard that I thought was funny. I said, I'm going to share this with the church here today. We'll talk about the stages of a man with reference to Santa Claus. I heard this, I thought it was funny. It says, first stage of a man, he believes in Santa Claus. In the second stage of a man, he does not believe in Santa Claus. In the third stage of a man, he is Santa Claus. And in the fourth stage of a man, he looks like Santa Claus. Very bad. Don't write that one down anymore. That has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. But that's the way it works. It seems to be a little truth in it. I said, okay, very interesting. So in either case, back to our subject. Choosing God's way.
Yes.
Jonah is the classic example of an individual who was selected and chosen by God. Do you know everyone who comes to God, he chooses them?
That's right. Amen.
There are no people of God that God did not choose.
That's right.
If you believe God, it's because he chose you. John 15, 16 told, Jesus said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
That's right. Amen.
And I ordained you that you should go forth. So this is the doctrine of predestination. God chose you. If you believe the gospel, it's because God chose you.
That's right.
And so when he chose you, he knew what he was doing. He didn't say, oh, you know, Fisher, he's so wonderful, I'm going to pick him. Because usually he's picking folks who you would think other folks would go, you picking him? Are you picking me? Yeah, that's the way God is. He picks people who other people would skip over.
That's right.
You know, and so keep that in mind. Sometimes we get a little bit out of our heads, but I want you to think about the fact that you did not choose God, he chose you.
That's right.
In the same way he chose Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
Says here he's the son of Amittai. Everybody's the son of someone in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he commissioned Jonah, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him to go and go to Nineveh, a city which he had not preached to. But he said, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city. We call it a great city. You know what? When there's a lot of people in a city, God loves people.
Yes, he does.
They don't have to be good people. You know, if he had to have good people, I don't know where he'd go. He had to go somewhere else. But when he comes to a city, he loves people.
Yes.
That's one of the hardest things to digest in the mind of a person, is that God loves me.
Yes.
That was one of my most difficult stumbling blocks. It kept me from being saved and really pursuing a relationship with God for a long time. Because it was like, boy, you know, God wouldn't be choosing me. I knew me.
Mm.
I knew me. Oh, no, he's choosing you. For sure not. Not all the stuff you've been through.
Yeah.
See? But the fact is, God knows everything, and he loves us anyway.
Swallow.
And that's hard to swallow for some reason for us. You know, we think, oh, we've been, well, what we do, we evaluate ourselves in human terms. Yep. We say, well, you know, I haven't done all bad. I did some good stuff. And we start looking like that, and we think God's going to pull out a big old scale and put all the bad over here and the good over there. And if the good outweighs the bad, okay, I'm going to take you. Or no, you got to go. No, but God doesn't work that way.
No way. No way.
He did. No one would pass.
No one.
The fact is, the scripture says, and we looked at it this morning in one class, James says, if you break God's law in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. So when you read that, it's like, man, you know, that means a lie is as bad as a murder.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lie is as bad as adultery.
Yes.
Or a lie is as bad as blaspheming the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we look at that, and it's hard for us to get that in our mind. But James says that the one who breaks God's law at one point is guilty of the whole law. And so that's how God is. Now, what that really means is that God is perfectly holy.
Yes, he is.
And we don't really even understand that. That's a hard concept to wrap our mind around. Because we're so unholy most a lot of times. I mean, the fact that we are not perfectly holy, we don't really understand holy. We have to learn what holy is. And God teaches us what holy is as we go along. See? And he helps us to understand what it is and how to be holy.
Yes.
And but neither, this is what I really want to say. He chose Jonah. And he had an assignment for Jonah. And Jonah didn't like the assignment. Sometimes we don't like what God asks us to do. There may be stuff God wants you to do, and you're thinking, nah, not me. But you see it throughout the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
And I just pulled Jonah kind of somewhat out of the hat, because I could have picked Gideon. Gideon was over there, and the enemy was coming against them, stealing up everything, and wouldn't let them have anything. They couldn't even get a decent meal.
Mm-hmm.
And they would steal all their crops and all the food and come in and just knock them down and take everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Gideon said, well, you know what? I'm going to do this different. I'm going to go down in the hole and deal with my stuff where they can't see me. And so he went down in the valley and took his little wheat down there and was threshing wheat in the valley. And God spoke to him, Gideon, almighty man of valor. And he looked around at the boy. What was, who, you know, who came in, you know. So he was scared. And God said, no, I'm talking to you, Gideon. So I could have picked a lot of people here. We could have picked so many. You could look back in the Bible. Moses, when he came to the burning bush, God told him to take off his shoes because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And he did. He couldn't understand that thing. He was seeing a bush burning that was not consumed. And God told him, I'm going to send you to Egypt, which is where he had just ran away from. He ran away from there about 40 years ago. And I'm not trying to go back there. You know, he murdered somebody and hit the road. Said, "Yeah, you what? You gonna send me back there?" "I don't think so." And he starts stumbling in his speech. "I can't even. I don't even speak well. How am I gonna tell the Pharaoh something?" He said, "Well, I'm gonna send somebody else with you. I'll take care of that, Moses. Who made your mouth? Who made your tongue?
That's right.
You know, who made those components?" He had to grapple with him to get him to see that I'm choosing you for this.
That's right.
The good news out of all these people, we could go to 100 people and this would be true.
Mm-hmm.
God chooses you and he knows how you are. He knows who you are. And he knows what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
And he's not saying you have to be all that in order for you to go. He's saying, if I say go, I'm going to equip you
to
go.
Yes.
We put it this way. We said, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the call.
Hallelujah.
So if he calls you, he's going to qualify you to do what he wants you to do. Jonah wasn't feeling it. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." You want me to go in and rebuke these evil people and tell them that they're wicked? It's like, what? Me? God told him, go tell them, you need to repent. But Jonah, notice that word, "but" there. Normally, "but God" is a good statement. But here in this one, Jonah 1:3, it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Nineveh was east from where Jonah was. Tarshish was west. In fact, Tarshish was the farthest place west that you could go. It would be like saying God told me to go to New York and I said, "Oh, I'm heading for California. On my way to California." To get away from what God wants me to do.
Yep.
So he decided in his mind he was not going to do what God said. But notice it says Jonah rose up. That's the only time you see the word "up." He rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice what it says next. And he went down.
Down.
You was trying to rise up, but you went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the Pharaoh thereof and went what? Down. Wow, he's going down, isn't he?
Yep.
Into it, and go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah thought he was going up, but he found out he was going down. Why? Because when you're going away from God, you're not going up.
That's
you're
right.
Going down.
Amen.
But he's just one person here. And I wanted to put him before you because his problem was the problem that many of us have. We try to trust in ourselves. We think what God is telling us to do is off our ability. It's way above us. It's off our charts. We can't make it happen. You know, we don't want to be the sad man at the party, so to speak, to tell people to repent or any of that stuff. But Jonah the prophet provides a classic view of the futility of going against the clear will of God and shows us that the actual will of God for our lives will certainly be done one way or another. That's what we learned from Jonah. And that ultimately we will find our greatest success through walking with God rather than walking against God. So if we begin to walk with God, we're going to find out what our greatest success is.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find out why you were made.
All right.
What you were made for. Why are you here? This is what you find out when you walk with God.
Yes.
The journey might look a little rough. You know what happened to Jonah? I don't know, we might tell you. Some of y'all know. Some of y'all may not have read the book of Jonah. It's just 4 chapters. He thought he was going to go west, and God sent a great storm up on the sea. See, sometimes you get a storm to tell you you're not going the right way.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Other people said, boy, this is unusual. It was supposed to be clear weather. But we're in a big storm like I've never seen. It wasn't even in the news forecast. Didn't see it at all, the mariners began to say. And it got rough out on the sea. And so they all began to cry out. They said, this is horrible what's happening to us. They started to throw the cargo out the ship. They were busy trying to get that thing under control. They start crying out to their gods. Nothing was happening. They were still getting into a worse and worse situation. This is just kind of a brief caricature. And then Jonah was down in the boat asleep. They said, everybody else is up here laboring. Where is that strange looking man that came in here? Oh, he's down in the hole asleep. Get him up here right now, the captain said.
Yep.
Get him up from there. Rise, old sleeper. How can you sleep when we're going through all this trouble? And he said, as soon as he saw what was happening, he said, well, hey, you know what? I know what the problem is. It's me. He had a guilt complex.
Yes, he did.
He knew he had not done what God told him to do.
That's right.
He said, if you just throw me out of here, everything will be fine for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to commit suicide. Some people say that's why he asked them to throw him out. They're thinking, boy, we ain't throwing you out. If you say it's your fault and it's just your God doing all this,
right.
I don't know if I want to mess with you. You know, but they threw him out anyway because they said, you know, it's more dear my life than yours. And if you got to go, they throw him in the sea with
that's right.
Back peaceful. And God had prepared a great fish that came and swallowed up Jonah. We would say he was a whale according to the New Testament. But I didn't really want to go into that, although I love the book of Jonah. It's one of my very favorite places to read. But I just want you to see that when you're not going God's way, God will turn you around.
Yes, he will.
Oh, yes, he will.
He will turn you around. He wants you to go his way. We like to say my way or the highway. Well, God likes to turn you around and get you going his way.
Yes.
And he loves you and he knows what's best for you.
Amen.
But he will sustain you through whatever you're dealing with.
Yes, he will.
In the meantime, to get you on that right track, doing his will. So what I want you to see here, 1 John nails the problem with us most of the time in this area of choosing God's way rather than our own. The problem we have and what interferes with us most is so much stuff in the world. We wonder how the wicked do all they do and they look like they're living so well.
Yep.
And look at all that good stuff they got. And my, they ain't doing nothing right as far as God is concerned. But boy, they sure have nice haircuts and cars and houses and clothes. And they look like they got it all going on in the news every day. And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to envy the world.
Yep.
We said, boy, I sure would like some of that glitz and glam and all that. You know, Ferraris and Teslas and all this kind of good thing. That doesn't mean you won't have them if you do God's way.
That's right. Amen. It
doesn't mean that. God's not holding nothing back from his people. If the wicked got it, you can have it. In fact, he says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants your focus to be on him.
Yes, he does.
His way, his direction.
Amen.
He, the earth is his, and the fullness thereof, the world and all them that live in it.
Yes.
So it's not God trying to stop you from having anything.
My Lord.
But we have to be careful about our attitudes.
Yes, we do.
We must be cautious with becoming entangled with worldly affairs, especially if they are drawing us away from the course which God has told us. Or we have come to learn through the study of his word, the word of God, how to choose the things that he desires of us. You know, that's what we learn at church. You should be learning that, what's pleasing to God.
Amen.
Which are sometimes not clearly evident. Sometimes you really have to pray about what God wants you to do. But they're being revealed over a course of time.
Yes.
You know what? That's the part we don't like. I don't like that course of time, Lord. Just zap me right now and let everything roll. That's what we want. We're impatient. That's why Paul said, tribulation worketh patience.
Yes. Amen.
And patience, hope. If you go through some trouble, it's going to teach you patience you would otherwise not learn. See, he could zap you and everything's all right, but if he wanted, he's God. But he chooses to let you go through some stuff.
Yes.
To show you that I am with you in the trouble you get. I'm with you in your struggle. I'm with you in everything you go through. If you stand for my name, I'm right there with you.
Yes, he is.
See, no matter what you're going through, I'm going through with you.
My Lord.
That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And my cup runneth over. I got more than I really need. See, and you provided for me, even though my enemies want to snatch everything I have. See, but God says they can't get it. I'm walking with you in everything you do. That's why when Jesus said, when you go, he told the disciples after he got out the grave, go and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. That's the Great Commission, right?
Yes.
And he said, lo, I am with you.
Always.
Always, even to the end of the world. So somebody might be threatening the end of the world. We hear about it all the time. Well, so-and-so got a nuclear arsenal, and this person over here is about to blow that person over there. And we hear about it all the time. But he says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10.
Yes.
Says. See, and so God says, I'm going to be with you on your journey wherever you go. And I'm sending you some places you may not think you'd like to go or you want to go. You think, well, no, I don't know about this one. Lord, I think you're going too far. But you'll find out you're on the right road.
Oh, yes.
You continue to walk by faith. Now, you know what? Faith keeps walking even though it doesn't see because of the fog.
Right.
That's the way one person put it. You know, and science can only take you as far as it can see. See? It runs out at a certain point. But faith says, okay, science, you're through. Now take my hand and let me take you all through. See, but faith knows that if God said it, it's so. And I don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
See? And so faith is not relying on sight.
No.
It's relying on truth, what God said.
Yes.
See, and so look what John says here, and we'll get to the point I'm trying to get you to. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. In other words, the stuff itself shouldn't be your fascination.
That's right.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He didn't say don't have the stuff, don't love it, don't let it regulate you, don't let it make you do what you do.
Yes.
You do what you do because God tells you what you
That's
do,
right.
what
Amen.
You're supposed to do.
Amen.
And the stuff is stuff he provides you with. He is your supplier, and he will keep you going.
Yes.
And I'll keep you with plenty of stuff, but just don't let the stuff have you. I want you to have the stuff, but I don't want the stuff to have you. So love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Let that love be for God. And if any of you man loves the world, the love of the Father. See that? It's not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Yes.
Jonah said, you know what, Nineveh, they're evil anyway. Let me just go on over here, and I'll have a good time. By that time, they will have destroyed themselves. I don't know what he was thinking, but he wasn't going to go and tell them, repent. He had no plan to do that.
Oh, wait.
See, I ain't mingling with them. I don't know what his reason was. The word doesn't tell us. A lot of people have said and speculated through the years why he didn't want to go. But the fact is, he was not choosing God's way.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I want you to think about this because we need to choose God's way.
Amen.
And we don't want to get hung up with the lust of the flesh. The flesh wants it and it wants it now. The lust of the eyes, I see it, I got to have it now.
Mm-hmm.
And the pride of life is, I got it and don't you talk about me for it.
Watch out.
And how I am, that's the way I am. And I'm proud of it. Now we go blast the trumpet and go down the middle of Main Street with all kinds of stuff now in the time we live in. And it's a dangerous thing to do.
Yes, it is.
Notice what John says, the reason you don't, verse 17, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Yeah.
Now, okay, it's not so much, like I say, you want to have stuff, but you don't want the stuff to have you.
Yes.
You want God at the controls.
That's right.
You want to stay focused on the truth and what's right, walking his will, walking his way. Let him guide you through the dark times, through the troubled times, through the storms of life. And he will. He has promised he will.
Yes, he will.
And then you don't have to worry because you will abide forever.
Yes.
See that? And you know what? That's why we say, Jesus put it this way. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. See, so if you use what you use and do what you do to impact eternity, which is what God wants us to do, it doesn't mean he wants you not to have stuff. Don't leave here today. So, oh, Pastor Fisher say, oh, I don't want me to have any. No, he wants you to have plenty.
Yes.
He wants you to have abundance.
Yes.
He wants you to have overflow.
Uh-huh.
It's not about what you have. It's about your attitude.
That's it.
And how you use it. Or am I using what I have for his glory?
Yes.
Am I using it for his praise?
Yes.
You know, if he can trust me with 10%, as we like, a lot of folks get hung up on the 10%, but that's just a starting point for me.
That's all it is.
Start on 10% and then let God escalate you where you can do more and more and still be good.
Yes.
See? Don't let that trip you up. Get started somewhere and then keep moving. God will show you. He said, prove me now
yes.
in this.
Yes.
And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive it.
Yes.
That's what he said. That's one of the few times God says, try me on this.
Yes.
You know, if you want to see while I do my part, you do this.
Yes.
That's what he said. See, some people in here know, that some of y'all know already.
Yes, I do.
What's up with that? You do. You know, because you've seen God move in and stuff you didn't know how you were going to deal with it. And God took care of it. So giving our lives to Christ guarantees us the most security of any other thing that we can possibly attain in this world. And offers us the reality that God's way may not be easy, but it is the best.
Yes, it is.
Might not be easy. Sometimes it's rough.
Yes.
But it is the very best.
Yes, it is. Amen.
You'll even sleep better. You get better rest.
Yes.
You know, because you know I've done stuff according to what God said.
Yes.
And nothing can really harm me.
Nothing.
See, Jesus got out the grave to show us death can't even really hurt you.
Yes.
That's why I want you to know I got that covered.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I cover it for you.
Yes.
Jesus said this, and I'm going to be done here. He said, this is life eternal.
Mm-hmm.
People think eternal life, oh, that's after I'm dead, and I'm in the box, and in the great by and by, I'm going to be with God. Well, no, that's a bad attitude. He said, this is life eternal, John 17:3, yeah. To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. If you know the Father and the Son, that's life eternal. It's about a relationship.
Yes, it is.
It's not about after I'm in gone and all that. It's about right now. I always tell people eternal life begins when you believe.
That's right.
Yeah. That's when it starts. And then it never ends. So the people here in this room who believe God, believe that God raised his son from the dead, you have eternal life.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, I do.
You don't have to worry about a thing.
Nothing.
Eternal life begins this relationship with God. The people who don't know the Lord, that's folks who reject him,
mm-hmm.
See, they don't have eternal life.
That's right.
They don't have an answer for what happens to me when I check out.
Mm-hmm.
We have an answer.
Yes,
but
we do.
That's why Paul told the Thessalonians, if you have people who've gone on, you don't have to grieve as others. They have no hope.
They have no hope.
No hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he will bring with him those who have died in Christ.
Yes, he will.
They're with him now. They're coming back when he comes back.
Yes.
See? And he said, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord.
Right?
Therefore, comfort ye one another with these words. These are comforting words.
Oh, yes, it is.
And it's going to be in a moment and a twinkling of the eye. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery.
Yes.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Yes.
That's an instantaneous thing that happens right at one moment that's on God's calendar that no man knows the day or the hour. Preparation is trust in Jesus Christ.
That's it.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ, I want to invite you to do it right now. It'll be the best transaction you'll ever.
Oh, yes, you will.
Because you can know for sure tonight when you go to bed, I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me. I am his and he is mine. Amen. And you have the victory. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. Father, deal with us about our hearts, about our lives, about our possessions. Father, help the ones in here who are trusting you right now for the first time to realize that they are saved. You called them. They didn't call you. They came today because you wooed them here with your love in order to save their soul and to let them know that you have them covered, that you gave your son to be crucified on the Roman cross. And it was written in your word for thousands of years. And you raised him out the grave to prove that the job was complete. And that everything they need to do lies in him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we believe you raised him from the dead. Save everybody who hears this message and they get an understanding today, Father. Because without you, we can't do anything. And so, Father, we bless you. We give you praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and the church say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you happen to not be in church membership anywhere, we want to offer you the ability to network with us. We are a portion of a greater thing, which is the Church of the Living God that exists all over the world in different congregations.
And there are people who believe the same thing we just discussed with you. And their mind is now focused on God's plan for the whole world. And that's what we do here at St. Timothy. So we want to give you an opportunity to be a member here. And we've taken up the privilege that God has given us to train you and teach you in the Word of God. Amen. That's the focal point of this ministry. We want you to know what God said for yourself and why you believe what you believe. You ought to know that.
Oh, yes.
If you get questioned, you should be able to give an answer. Now, I was saying this morning to our new members class that you don't have to know the whole scripture. Just tell people what God did to you. That's all it has to be. This is what he did for me, just like Jesus healed the blind man. I would use that for an illustration. And they asked him, who did that for you? Who healed you? And they didn't come and ask us, folks of the Pharisees and all that. And the blind man said, well, you know, I don't know who did it, but I do know I was blind and now I can see. Hello. That's all I can tell you. Who you think did that? So you tell me what you think. Eventually, Jesus came back and told that man he knew it was him when he heard his voice.
Yes.
See, but he didn't see him. I think that's why Jesus put the mud on his eyes, so you don't know who did this until you get over to the pool and wash, like I told you.
Yeah.
I think he healed him instantly, but I don't want you to see him.
Yes.
See, and so you got to go by faith and do what I told you, even though you don't see. So that's why he loves you just like you are. Amen. We've done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. We want to welcome again Sister Kim to our fellowship, who has recently joined us.